This is a production of Cornell University.
Welcome back to the Shortcut Early Bird Podcast. This is our 30th week this year, and it's going to be our last week. So we're joined, as always, with Dr. Frank Rossi. And Frank, I think it seems fitting to kind of do this episode as a year in review. And we've always started out with weather. So why don't we take a look back at the 2017 growing season in terms of weather and kind of how it compared to normal.
So Art DiGaetano, our Northeast Climate Center contact, director of the Northeast Climate Center, gives us an annual year in review and prognostication for the winter. Mm-hmm. And at the end of our 18th season, we'd wrap it up. I think he used the word roller coaster a few times, Carl, where, you know, cool March, warm April, normal temperature-wise through May through July, cooler August, slightly warmer September. Mm-hmm. And I think what he said is if we ended the year in September, you would have said, wow, it's a normal growing season. Almost, yeah, as Jerry Giordano said, a boring season, mm-hmm, relative to some of the issues with regard to lawns. But then October came where we went 6 to 10 degrees above normal. And that seemed to have wreaked havoc, right? You saw a gray leaf spot, brown patch diagnosed on a field in upstate New York, mm-hmm, right, in October. So obviously that created an issue. And then the moisture, again, wettest in May, almost two times normal for many people. June and July were normal, but some had some wet periods in July. Mm-hmm. And then August through early October was dry, especially in Long Island and in New England. And now we're getting to the point where we're two times normal precipitation. So again, the roller coaster weather made for a very interesting year, at least from a pest perspective. And we heard from Rich Buckley about that.
Yeah, Rich Buckley from the Rutgers Plant Diagnostic Lab has been sharing with us data from his lab and the amount of samples he's been getting in. And it looks like for the year, he's going to be about 30% short on samples, which confirms to us the idea all year long we've been talking about, which is, although we've had this roller coaster kind of weather pattern, overall, the cumulative disease pressure and environmental stress in the system hasn't been all that high.
Yeah, and I think the bottom line is that Rich relies on, or the diagnostic labs that you know, rely on revenue from samples when there's not that environmental stress in the system that's chronically stressing plants, right? I mean, mm-hmm, pest pressure is episodic, right? You're going to have periods of time when you get insects and their life cycles challenge the plants at certain times. And the same with diseases. They have dormancy periods and infection periods, and there's going to be a cycle to that. And those things get amped up when there's environmental stress. And if you have very minor pest problems, when you have very major environmental stress, Rich gets lots of samples because it's hard to determine the confoundment between the two, right? There's co-mingling factors when you have environmental stress and when you have pest problems. And so his 30 to 40% is the lack of environmental stress. So it's, as we would say, in validation, baby, that there wasn't much stress in the system. And then it's reflected in how many of the diagnostic labs dealt with it through the season. So, you know, we can wrap it up, but the most fun part is the prognostication. And Art gave us a little bit of that, Carl.
Yeah, so Art's forecasting somewhat of a La Nina winter. And he's describing a La Nina as a cooler tropical oceans over on the Pacific side. And so then he was talking about how that's going to affect us in the Northeast here. So what did he say about kind of what we should expect coming into the winter here?
So he typically, and you know, all of these government scientists now have to choose their words wisely, as we've been told. So I'll make a joke about that. And essentially, he would say that, you know, based on past La Ninas, right? I mean, he's going to hedge his bets on this. But when you have a cooler than normal tropical Pacific, right, that he said is related to these winds, it typically means the snow's coming later. Mm-hmm. That you're going to have later snowfall, that the ground's going to stay open through November and December, which made a lot of people happy. Yep. If we get good cold temperatures, that we get frost in the ground, that we can get after, you know, that'll kill some of these pests like crane flies so that they don't overwinter. so that some of these warm season pests, like even mole cricket in Westchester County, we can get some cold temperatures in the ground. So that's the one part. It's going to be open, but then the snows and the moisture is going to come later. And the freeze-thaw cycles could lead to ice. So along the coast, he's calling for not so much snow, but cooler, rainier conditions, which, you know, that's where we get nervous about icing conditions. So that's the one thing that concerns us, especially if you got a lot of annual bluegrass, the potential for icing conditions along the coast. Now, inland towards the west where we are and west of us, north of us, of course, expect a lot of snow to come later. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we see with these later snows, Carl, is that plants start to break dormancy February and March. If they're in urban environments next to pavement, you know, where the pavement warms on a sunny day, the grass next to it begins to warm and break dormancy. And then when you get a snowstorm after that, if you put a lot of salt, sodium chloride in particular, and that gets splashed on the turf that's begun to break dormancy, you're going to get widespread salt damage. Not because of the soil, but because the plants that broke dormancy are now susceptible to salt injury. So one of the pieces of advice we want to give people is later snowfalls, you might want to consider alternative de-icing materials that are not as damaging to the turf in these urban environments. And we've shown this in some of our research as well. So, you know, it's very interesting to talk in general trends that, you know, we're going to have open ground and then snow later, watch out for the ice. So we could have an eventful winter on the heels of a not a very eventful growing season, Carl. So it's been a pleasure doing these early bird podcasts with you. And for many of the people who don't listen, we are in fact doing them very early in the morning. So if we sound like we've woken up a couple of times. And finally, just a note about a survey that we're going to be sending out before I pass it back to you, Carl, the importance of getting that feedback about how we're doing, what you'd like to hear. We have some ideas for improving this next year, and we certainly are going to ask you for to suggest a few. So nice working with you, Carl. Thanks for a good 30 weeks of yakking about it, and I'll pass it back.
Yeah, it certainly has been a fun 30 weeks, Frank. And for the first year of our podcast, we've really enjoyed kind of setting it up and doing it all these mornings. And we hope that survey, as Frank mentioned, will give us some good feedback and some ideas to come back better than ever next year. One last thing, we'd like to give a quick shout out to Tucker Rossi for producing this year's theme music for our podcast. Really loved it, so again, shout out to Tucker. And with that, this will wrap up the first year of the Shortcut Early Bird Podcast. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next year.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.